Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara, two lines from the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We are discussing the concept of Bris Milah. So the Gemara continues wondering why Taka in the Midbar, of a Midbar, my time alomo, why Taka did they not get, what's the reason that they didn't get a Bris Milah in the Midbar during the 40 years of the Midbar? So the Gemara says, Ibais Eimah B'Shem Chulsha De'Orcha. So a few different answers. One, maybe they were extremely weak from the fact that it was, you know, going on a long trip and a long journey is very exhausting. So that's why it was something which would cause you danger, potentially, to have Bris Milah in such a circumstance. Turning on to the next time. Or maybe they didn't have the north wind. The north wind not blowing was something which you considered a danger not to have it. The north wind did not blow for them. They didn't have the zchus. We're going to see why. And the north wind apparently would be something, if it wasn't properly there, would not be able to give the Bris Milah time to that wind was necessary to make it heal. My time, well, what's the reason north wind didn't blow? They were considered in Lashon and Nezifa, as they were being rebuked. They were in like a cherem, so to speak, from Hashem. After that's a machlokes of Yerasha Tesis, is it talking about the Cheta Egel? That's what they weren't deserving of that light. The lack of sunlight indicated that they weren't deserving of the spiritual light because like the Keser that had been brought down. Or maybe it was because of the fact that it was the 40 years of the Midbar after when they were rebuked for the Nezifa was for the fact that the Meraglim, after the Chet Meraglim with the spies, and they said Lashon Hara Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't believe in Hashem, so maybe that's what the Nezifa was. Either way, that they were punished with such a thing. V'ibayis Ema, another answer, nebadud anane chavoid. At the end of the day, the Hashem's anane chavoid, the clouds that protected them, they didn't want them to go away, so therefore the sun would not shine through them if they were there. And so, if they were there, then you need the ruach tzonis. You would get rid of the ananim. So therefore, it was not a bad thing. It was just this other answer, just assuming they didn't have it wasn't metzias, it wasn't shayach. Says the Gemara, "Vaytamar Papa Ilkach Yoma Davi Yoma Deshusa Lamalina." But if that's the case, based on this, you shouldn't have bris mila on a cloudy day or a day with severe winds, because the harsh winds of ruach tzonis isn't going to be properly healing the baby. And we should also not be bloodletting. Again, they used to think bloodletting was a very healthy thing to do. They don't do that either. Adrina the darshu be rabim. So now he just points out Idna rather, not Adrina. Idna the darshu be barav. At the end of the day, now people literally are walking on this, they're trampling it, meaning people are not listening to it. Became the minig olam that even when it's cloudy, even if it's windy, they still have a bris mila. We'll say shomer pesayim Hashem. Apply the halacha that Hashem will protect. Literally, the pesi, the person who's simple, someone who's not thinking too much, Hashem will protect him. That's a big shaila. When do we apply this principle of Shomer Pesayim Hashem? Rav Meisher discusses this Bezman Hazeh. How do we apply Shomer? When do we say Shomer Pesayim Hashem? When do you say you're being machlis yourself into a suffix sakana, which is an issue potentially the race of Nishbarta Malan Hashasechem and Nisarseh maybe. So there's a very very vague, there's a very thin line between the two. So Rav Moshe says he wants to know that if the Rov HaOlam it does such a thing and it's not, they're not harmed by it, then you can't say that that's going to be a problem of suffix of putting yourself in danger. It's evident that that's okay. So therefore, something like flying, let's say, you know, Hashem, it could happen that there are accidents here and there and different things happen, but since overwhelming majority of people do it and Ruba Druba and everyone doesn't feel like all nervous and gets tense. Some people do have a fear of flights, but Betzim, in general, people just fly normally. That's what they do. So then that's not going to be considered something which is like, oh, say, why you machmer pikuach nefesh, don't fly ever? Because that's Shomer Pesayim Hashem. So it's a very fine line of when the difference is. Like other things that are more dangerous is a big shaila about doing them. You know, something like jumping on airplanes and things like that. People like to do bungee jumping and things like that. Those are things that they're shailas if they're mutter. Okay, Vayter says the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan Kolosim Arba'im Shana Shaiyusav B'Midbar Lo Yom Yom Shalana Shal Ruach Svenis B'Chatzi Laila. There was the northern wind did come at midnight. Shenemar Va'Yibachatzi Laila Hashem Kikol Bechor. It started. Hashem had killed the firstborns in Egypt from the Chatzos Laila in the middle of the night. Gemara says My Tamuda. Why? Where do we see from over here that the north wind was blowing? Hashem just killed them because they were being punished. Where do we see that there was the idea that there was dafka that the ruach tzvonis was blowing? Says the Gemara, "Kamash Milan, the Eis Ratzon Milsi." So the Gemara is saying that that we see that Eis Ratzon is a thing, and the fact that there was an Eis Ratzon at that point, then we see that the wind was blowing at that time. That's what we see. The Gemara Bracha tells us that David HaMelech knew exactly when the ruach tzvonis is coming at Chatzos, and David would immediately start learning Torah until the morning. This is one of the sources that we see that Chatzos, specifically Chatzos Laila, exactly is a tremendous Eis Ratzon, and that is something which is Tikkun Chatzos is something which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that a person should be crying over the base of Mikdash, and specifically at Chatzos Laila, that was by the Arizal a little bit later that he was speaking how gadol specifically the time is Chatzos is the Zohar Kadosh based on the Zohar. That is a very very significant thing if a person has a chance to do so. That is something which is something which is as a big milah to try to do that. Says the Gemara, "Vayitar Marvuna Dvar Torah Mashuch Oicha B'Tshuva Yivam Gazra Lav Nation Nira Ka'aral." So that under Adinda Raisa, someone who's mashuch, what is mashuch? Literally, someone who's stretched means that a person who has a bris milah, but somehow the skin it comes like grows in and it stretches over and it covers either he's sick or something he did to it, and he'll be able to cover his bris milah. So he's allowed to eat truma midaraisa, says Rav Huna. However, midivrem gazur lab nation yira alkal. But since he doesn't look like he had a bris milah, so then there's a gzeret rabbana that he shouldn't eat truma. Says the Gemara, "Meisiv yav yakasha." That from the brayser says mashuch tarich sheyimol. There's necessary for a mashuch to do bris milah again. We see that he's no longer considered. He's not considered a mohol on a level deraisa. So says the Gemara midirabbana that the mashuch requires it only midirabbana, not deraisa. It just says tarich sheyimol. So Gemara says the karla makarla. That's a question. What type of question was this? What are you asking? So I mean, that's a phrase of Gemara. Like, what was even the Havamim to ask such a question? Clearly, it's a Hatzarech Katani. I mean, the usual lesson of Tzarech, usually Tzarech implies it's Dinder Rabbanan. So Tzarech implies it's Dinder Rabbanan, so then the Chora, it's clear from the Braisa that it was Dinder Rabbanan, exactly as Rav Huna had said it. Why are we asking a Meisiveh? Meisiveh is a lesson of Akash and Rav Huna. This isn't a Meisiveh whatsoever. So it says the Gemara, Katoy B'Seifai. No, because what led the Havamim of the Gemara to ask this Kasha was because of the second half of the Braisa. The second half of the Braisa is the following. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yimal B'nei Sakana Hi Lo. At the end of the day, if a person has bris milah, if he's a mashuch, we're afraid that part of his that part of it you'll cut too far, and you're going to cut my much part of the aver, and that's going to obviously be a tremendous sakana for the person. So Amru Lo, they said back to Valo Arbe Malu B'nei Ben Koziva. Many people had done bris milah during the times of Ben Koziva. This is a fascinating time. One of the time we refer to Bar Kokhba. Ben Koziva was. His name was Shimon Bar Kokhba. Some say actually his name was Bar Koziva, and Rabbi Kiva nicknamed him Bar Kokhba because of Darach Kachov Miyakov. We know that Rabbi Kiva, the Yerushalmi, Tainus tells us that Rabbi Kiva thought he was Mashiach. He thought he was Mashiach. They say that the Romans is going to bring about Mashiach and the third base of Middash, and that was going to be the time of Mashiach. So the times of Bar Koziva, the Gemara is pointing out that we know that they took over Beitar. That's what we say at the Atoma Meitiv there. It was one of the worst mass murders after that. When after Bar Kokhba, he had held reign for a year and a half, or 2 years, something like that, against the powerful Roman army. That's what, you know, an unbelievable feat that he had done. And he had taken over Beitar, and eventually the Romans came back and they slaughtered everybody. I think they say, Josephus says, like 1 million or 2 million people were killed there. So their blood was all over the place, and the Romans wouldn't let them bury them. It was a miracle that after X amount of years, if I got along, they were able to bury them. That's why we say Hatil Ve'amitiv. So anyway, Bar Koziva, during his time, the Romans forced the Jews to do this process of mashuch to cover their foreskin, to show ki'ilu that they're not even keeping bris milah, even the ones who had it. So once he took over, he removed them, and he put back the bris milah. And what happened? So then they had children, and they quoted a pasuk to show that lachor they had this chiyuv to give themselves the bris milah again, to circumcise themselves again. I feel me up because himol yimol sounds like you should do it 2 times over. So that implies even 100 times if it's covering over. Omer, as brisi efer, also you violated my bris. The rabbis, the mashuch, this is coming to include the case of a mashuch who's chayav in to do a bris milah. So this is the chora, this is the source that the braisa is saying that it's deraisa. This seems to imply it's deraisa. That's the kasha that they're asking on Rav Huna, not from the reisha. The Gemara just intervenes for a second. The Gemara asks, "My Omer and the Braisa, why do you have to quote two psukim? We said himol yimol. You'll have to do it me'apamim. If it gets covered, then you should do it again. Why do you need a esprisi hefer to teach you that you have to do mashuch? Also is included in this." It says the Gemara, "V'chitei ma'hai himol yimol." They're about tzitzin makvis amila. So you're going to tell me that himol yimol is telling us it cannot be told that a mashuch requires bris milah because it's coming to include the tzitzin makvis amila that's part of ma'akev the bris milah. Tashma is pretty safe. So you're right. So then we'll have this other pasuk to teach you about the mashuch. So the Gemara points out that again, this lachora is daraisa. How is ever made a kanasiv leashas? Interesting lashon. We use the lashon shas over here. That the Gemara is using the lashon of a pasuk to teach you that mashuch is problematic. So this the makshon asked in Rav Huna that lachora this price is to make daraisa. That it's a daraisa to have mashuch. To which the Gemara pointed out, no, below me, but Rabbanan v'karayis machlam yalmu. No, really, it's a din derabbanan, and the pasuk is simply just a support for the din derabbanan, but it's not actually just it's a remez for it, and it's not really a din daraisa. That's what we see from over here. So it says the Gemara, right to Mesir, we have a kashan Rav Huna from the braisa. Tumtum ain ocha b'tshuma. Someone who's a tumtum is not allowed to eat shuma. Why not? Because the tumtum we mentioned before, his flesh is like covered over, so he might have a bris milah, may not. So since he's a suffix RL, you're not allowed to have him eat truma. Nashav avadav ochem, however, his woman and his slaves may eat. The Gemara's going to ask about Nashav. He's allowed to get married. He's a suffix woman. Maybe he's a woman marrying a woman. So mashach menulad kishu mal. Also, the guard of mashach, a child is born while they had bris milah, are elu ochlin. They're allowed to eat truma. Andrigonus ocha b'truma. And Andrigonus is interesting. We're not sure if he's a male or female. It actually comes from the Greek, which is andro and Guinness. And it's actually an English word, modern English word also. Androgen, I think, is an English word for somebody who's also somebody has male and female. He's like a similar to what they call a hermaphrodite, also in English. Anyway, andro is male and Guinness is female in Greek, so that's what androgynous is coming from, that he has male and female things, so he's allowed to eat truma. Because the Torah's mutter permits the someone who has mila to eat truma, regardless of the person of male or female, either he did the bris mila or didn't. But he may not eat kachim, because kachim is only eaten by male kohanim, at least the kachim for sure, chatas nashim, or even the menachos, which are left over, are going to be considered kachim halachically. So both of these things are only allowed to be eaten by zacharim, and an androgynous is not may not be a zachar, so he's possible from eating the kachim. Tumtum ain't ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kachim. Tumtum is not allowed to eat from either of the two. So the Gemara is repeating what we just said before, but that we see from over here, not allowed to have a truma either. So the Gemara says, "Ketanim, yet we see from here, mashach v'nolad kishum ma'ol harei lo ochel." This price is beferish. The price is a mashach, and a child who was born with a bris mila are allowed to eat truma. Mashach allowed to eat truma against Ravuna. He said, "Midrabanan not." So says the Gemara, "Tiyufta Ravuna, tiyufta." It's a double knockout against Ravuna. Echanami. This seems to be a good proof that they are not allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara, "Vayter Amar Mar Tumtum ain't ochel b'truma nashav avad of oichlim." So says the Gemara now that a tumtum, the Brisa is saying that a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma. Nashav avada volchem however, his women and slaves were allowed to eat truma. Nashav the tumtum minalei. So how do we know that a tumtum is allowed to even have a wife? That's the Gemara's going back. We said that he might be a woman himself. Elim in the kaddish going to say he get married. It's not because the Brisa says the following: tumtum shekidish kedushav kedushin. A tumtum who decides to marry a woman, his kedushin is a kedushin, and she is not allowed to marry anybody else. It's kaddish kedushav kedushin. However, if someone else marries him, we're choshesh maybe he's actually a female, and that also he'd be no longer allowed to marry anybody else. So says the Gemara, Ima Damar Lachumra. So that price is only talking about a tumtum and then Lachumra, that maybe Daraisi is actually a male. So we say that the female is Makadish, we're a suffix mamzer, we don't get into that, so therefore she's not allowed to marry anybody else. However, Lakula Miyaman, and similarly, the same thing, if someone's Makadish him, we're afraid he's really a woman, and suffix Daraisi Lachumra is Rimachmir. However, who's going to say that? We're going to say Lakula. In our case over here, that the price is assuming that tumtum is going to be, that you're going to assume that you're allowed to be married, and she's going to be a Kohenes, she's allowed to eat Truma. How could that be? Who says that she's going to be considered a Kohenes? That she's married to the Kohen, if he might be a woman, in which case there's no kedushin. So the Gemara says suffik isha. So the tumtum is only a suffik isha. Veinishim is kadeshes isha. A woman obviously cannot, contrary to modern society, is not allowed to marry another woman. So what is going on over here? So says the Gemara, Rabaye kishabetav nikaros mivachutz. So that we're saying over here that the tumtum to eat truma, the Brisa is teaching us where the tumtum's is recognizable on the outside. So therefore, it was clearly that it was only the inner area was hidden, but the outer area was not. So therefore, it's going to say that it was like a vaday. It's a lot of vaday, a lot of be miskadosh. So Rav Amar Mai Nashav. What does it mean when it says what Mashav? Imo. It means his mother, meaning that a Yisraelis who marries a Kohen is allowed to eat truma as long as there's a living descendants. This tumtum, we don't know what he is. Maybe I would have thought. Even if it's a girl, it's allowed. So therefore, we're saying that it means that she's allowed. He's on account of her or him. We don't know what this tumtum is. That she's allowed to continue. This mother is allowed to eat because you're allowed to eat truma. Emails and where it says pshita. Obviously, though, if it's a woman or a male, no matter what offspring it is, it's going to be allowing him to eat truma. So says that you could say that someone who's having children, someone who's allowed to continue eating, having children is going to be able to be ma'achil. She'in molid ain't ma'achil. Tumtum is assumed that only if he's allowed to continue having children. So I would have thought maybe. Kamashwan, the Brisa is telling us that as long as she has any descendants who are alive right now, even if he is sterile, he's not able to produce any children because he doesn't have the male organs or the female organs properly functioning. So in that case, says the Gemara, and if that's the circumstance, then still it's considered a child, and therefore she would be allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara Tashma, we can bring a proof. It's the Chora Raya for Abaye, and Kasha and Rava. The Brisa says that the Brisa is talking about a case where the Brisa continued after talking about a truma who's not allowed to eat truma, tumtum not allowed to eat truma. The Brisa continues and says tumtum eno ocha lo b'truma v'lo b'kachim, that a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma or kachim. So now why is it repeating itself? Bishlam alabaye. Now according to Abaye, I understand that the first tumtum is referring to somebody who was nikar on the outside, and the second one wasn't. So Tana Reisha Arel Vaday. The first Tana teaches us that if someone who's Arel Vaday, the regular tumtum who's definitely exposed on the outside. So then we know there's definitely an Arel, so you cannot eat truma. Even a Safik Arel is not allowed to eat Truma. Ela L'Rava, but according to Rava, who says that the first case is talking about a Tumtum that are completely covered, so then Tumtum to save Lali, why do I need a case of the second one? Because it's Pashat. So L'Chora, it's going to be Pashat that you're going to be and not be allowed to eat Truma. So it says, my Tumtum, Arel. What is the case of a Tumtum in the Brace's last case, according to Rava? Is my answer that's an Arel, a regular uncircumcised person, an Arel, who doesn't have Bris Mila. So the Gemara points out, but why isn't the Brisa telling you, hash, the Safik Arel Lo'achel, that the Brisa's first case about a Tumtum was only on some level, is some sort of doubt whether he had a Bris Mila. He's not allowed to eat Truma. truma. So then you're going to tell me the seifa of someone of vade arel achils, I would have havamina, that person who definitely did a bris mila is going to do be able to eat truma vadanish. So therefore, lechora, the second case is not needed to be mentioned if that's the case. So says the Gemara, no, my time kamar. The Tanna is explaining what's the reason. Ma tam tumtamin alcha truma. Why can't a tumtam not eat truma? Because of the seifa of nesha safik arel. He is potentially somebody who doesn't have bris mila, but arel ain't ocha loba truma loba kachim. Somebody who's an arel may not eat truma nor any kachim. Says the Gemara, lema ketanai. Should we assume that this machlokas Rav Huna? The machlokas tanaim mashuch. Someone who's a mashuch, the gerish is gairik shumal, or a gerish is gairik when he has bris mila. The katash shavas mano shar kol nimolim. So the brisa it stops for saying latuya mishi yisho shtei arelis. This is including that shar kol nimolim is referring to someone who has two foreskins. So ena nimolim elbayim. All these cases are people who are only allowed to have bris mila during the daytime. That as the pasuk says, v'yom hashmini uva yom hashmini ma b'sar laso. That even if it's after 8 days, we're going to learn it only by daytime. They're going to be considered also that eventually when asiyomim, they're considered that you should be doing it in the daytime and not the nighttime. So Rabbi Lezer b'Shimon Omer bismano, it depends. If it's the 8th day, so then v'yom hashmini is going to include them. In mal v'yom after shalom bismano, if they're done by after the 8th day, nimolim by v'yom, they can be done by day or night. So says the Gemara, Lechora, this is machlokas tanaim. My left back and lifting. This is the following machlokas. Tamar savar mashuch the reisa. Tana comments that mashuch midar reisa. He needs to have bris mila that day. Umar savar mashuch the banner. Rabbi Shimon holds that mashuch is only the rabbanan, and therefore the bris mila does not need to be done by that day. So accordingly, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that mashuch is only the rabbanan, he would allow you to do it with, he would allow you Rav Huna, that's only the rabbanan, and therefore, and you would say that's usher to eat truma them, therefore, and you could do it by nighttime. Tanakam holds that's the raisa, he would hold like the machshon Rav Huna, that a mashuch is going to be usher even with the raisa from eating truma. And that's the avmin over here. So where says, Tishma, really, that's the machlukas and the tanaim over here. Kachan shavar zmano meikal aman damar derabanan. Including in that list was a person, a baby who's more than 8 days old, and he's just lobes mano, he's 30 days old, whatever, he was sick, whatever. So that thing over there, you have to do it by daytime. And that's deraisa for sure. Ela de koyama mishof derabanan. Everybody agrees, Rabbi Lezer, you can't say that's machlukas whether it's deraisa derabanan. Everybody agrees that mashuk is only a din derabanan. And so even the Tanakam would agree that a mashuk is only midarabanan at worst, going to be able to allow to eat. Not allowed to eat truma, as Rav Huna had said. So then what's going on over here? So then, katan shavar zmano d'raisa, in regards to a child whose time has passed the 8th day, it's still going to be the raisa to do it. V'alcha b'amfagin, so what's the son of the focus? Mar shavar darshin uvayom. Tana comes that we can learn the extra vav uvayom to teach you that it's including somebody else, that even those who are not on the 8th day, for whatever circumstance, the katan who had gone to bed, you have to do it by daytime. Mar shavar lo darshin uvayom, whereas Rav Lazar Shimon holds that we do not learn uvayom on the 8th day, and so the post-8th day may not be done even at nighttime. So says the Gemara, Kiyah, the Yasir Rabbi Yochanan v'kadarish. As Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and was learning, he said the following, Nosar bismano. If you have Nosar during its time, in Nisraf Elo Bayoim. What's considered bismano with regards to Nosar? Let's say a Shlamim. So it's allowed to be in Shtei Yamim v'layla Echad. So if you do a Shlamim, let's say Monday by daytime. So then you're allowed to eat it Monday night. And then Tuesday, you're allowed to eat it that day, and that's it. And at night, on Tuesday night, it becomes Nosar. You're not allowed to eat it. However, the Torah specifically says that it should be Benosar, Biyom HaShlishi Ba'is Tisar. I think along those lines, I don't recall the exact pasuk, but it's on the 3rd day. So, meaning the day after Wednesday, it should be burnt, not on necessarily on Tuesday night, even though it becomes Nosar. So rather you wait till Wednesday. So now, if that's the case, in our example, what do you do if it's Bayom? You only do it by day. But how much Shlomo's mana, if you already passed that prescribed time, then according to Biyochanan, Nishap bin Bayom Vilayla, you could do it by day and by nighttime. Ve'esim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar asked the Kash from Rabbi Yochanan from the Breisa. He didn't actually tell him it was a Breisa, you can see this from the Hemshech. This is Torah's Koyanim. And he asked the Makash, this is Torah's Koyanim, Eli Yala Nimel Hashmini, Shein Nimel Elo Bayom. So I have only a raya that one who is bris mila on the 8th day is going to be considered bris mila by day. The pasuk says uvayom, teaching you that uvayom, the extra vav, is teaching you that also be done during the day. And even the mandamar does not learn the extra vav. Vav hey darish. You learn vav hey, meaning in our point, viha nosar basar chasamim, the extra vav and the hey is extra. So therefore, everybody would agree that it could be done only during the day, even when it's done only even after its time. Against Rabbi Yochanan. So Ishtik Rabbi Yochanan was quiet, but enough. I got Rabbi Lezer left. Rabbi Yochanan was upset about this kasha b'chlal. I'm Rabbi Yochanan shalakesh. Right? See the Ben Pedas the Dorash Kama Oshav Biakvur. He was like kind of being sarcastic. He said, "I see Ben Pedas. It's Rabbi Lezer Pedas." And he said to him, he was darshan like Moshe Rabbeinu, like as if they came from Torah Mishnah, because we know Amorai would not allowed to be darshan Pesukim. They only have Mishorah for what they have in the Tanayim. The Tanayim have from Moshe Rabbeinu. But Ba'etzem, so he didn't realize that this was a Torah's Konim drasha. He thought this was his own drasha. So he said, okay, that's a Geshmak drasha, but like, Lamaisi is being sarcastic, like, oh, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu saying it over, like, you're not allowed to be darshan Pesukim. So Amar Shlokesh, no, the day, it's not his limud. Masnisa, rather it's a brisa responding to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, so heichat anila, so where did Rabbi Yochanan say, where's his brisa? He says, no, that's in Taurus Koyanim. And v'nafik v'tana v'tosu, Rabbi Yochanan went and learned the entire Taurus Koyanim for 3 days straight. He learned every word of Taurus Koyanim. V'sfar v'tosu yarcha, and then for 3 months he was steiging over at Be'iyun. So we see that you're supposed to first learn the Bekiyas, the whole Masechta, and then you start learning Be'iyun. That'd be an ideal way to do everything, to learn it first the Bekiyas and then Be'iyun. So that's where Amar Belazar Arel Shehiza. Going back to our machlokas we had on yesterday's daf about Arel that had done, or someone who was Arel who had done the sprinkling of the Mechatas, and it counts. So Hazazok Shir, we said that Hazazok Shir, Amidah Davi HaTvil Yom, similar to a Tvil Yom, Shaf Misha Asr Ben Shuma, even though he's Asr, meaning Shuma, Kasher Ben Parah. He is qualified for doing the sprinkling of the, he's qualified to sprinkle the Mechatas and to do other things for Parah Duma. The Gemara will learn this on tomorrow's daf, and also, they used to do this Bedavka, to Lafuka the Tzedukim, to use a Tvil Yom. So anyway, so over here, says the Gemara, so, so the Gemara asks the Kasha though, comparison to Tvil Yom. Because when you're comparing two things, Allah has to be the same. But here, a Tvil Yom is more, we're going to say Tvil Yom is going to be more makeup because a Tvil Yom is allowed to eat Meister Sheni, which we're going to learn, Tvil Yom we're going to see also on Ayin Dalad, we're going to see this, that Tvil Yom is not, and Arel is not. So we see that there's a Chumrah, and Arel is not allowed to eat Meister Sheni, whereas a Tvil Yom is. So there's a Chumrah by one that doesn't apply to the other. So the Gemara says, "Atu ananach." Are we talking about eating para aduma? No, we're talking about ananach. We're talking about the idea of touching it. In regard to touching, an RL can be learned from the following: Matvul yom shasher benegiyah v'chuma. A tvul yom is usher in touching shuma. Mutar b'parah yadi is mutar to touch the para aduma. RL shemutar benegiyah. An RL who's permitted to touch shuma so long as he's tahar. Ain't a din shemutar b'parah. Isn't it going to say a kava chomer? The chomer that he's be mutar to be able to deal with the para aduma and which. Which obviously is going to be involved touching it. So that's the raya. And the Gemara points out, Tanamachad, the Zachar Baisa supports this. Arel Shi, he's on a case where you have a person who didn't have a smilo, who sprinkled the mechatas on somebody who is being metameh on the shlishi shviya. So that's actually, it works. It might say it actually happened once, where the Arel sprinkled the mechatas, v'ichshua, chachamim hazaso, and they said it's kasher. So we see a raya. So now the Gemara has a kasher from a different Baisa. Meisi vei, tumtum shekidesh, the case of a tumtum who is mekadesh the mechatas. So he was doing the price of mechatas. And he mixes the ash of the paraduma with the spring water, the mei mayan. Kiddusha pasal is the fact that he was mekadesh as the mei chatas is going to be pasal. Neshi safek aral, because he is maybe an aral. The aral pasal the kadesh, aral is not going to be valid to do a mei chatas. So we see that is a problem. This price of the beferish is a problem. Adriganosh kiddush and Adriganosh who had done the mei chatas, kiddusha ksherah, it's going to be kosher. Why is it going to be kosher for him? Because even if we say it's a female, it's still going to be kosher. A female is going to be kosher to do mechatas. The Gemara is going to explain the source for that. So Rabbi Yehuda Imer, Af and Drigonos Shekidesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in Drigonos, who is miskadesh, the mechatas, Kiddush Psulin. His Kiddush is going to be possible. Nesha Safik Isha, because he's a possible woman, Visha Psula Melekadesh. A woman is possible from being mechatas. Katani Miel, we see from this, the other Bresha says, Arel, Safik, Arel, Pasul Melekadesh. An RL is possible from doing the mechatas, as we see from the brisa here. So this is where Amar Yevashes High Tana Devei Rabbi Kiva. This is a Rabbi Kiva sheet to the Merab Belei the RL Betame. He is learning that an uncircumcised person is like a tame person. The son of Rabbi Kiva says Ish Ish is the Rabbos is the RL. Ish Ish Mizera Aron. That lashon of Ish 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 is coming to include an RL from the Isra of eating truma. Amar Rava Avi Yasmina coming to Rabbi Yosef. I've seen him before. Rabbi Yosef Ekashali. The Tana should not have said that a person is an Aral and Tame person in one expression, Lema Rabbi Kiva. And immediately said that it's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, meaning if it's true that Rabbi Kiva is the one who says this, the Tana was teaching it, should be telling us that in the Lacha, he should be equating the two of them together. And he's telling us the Lacha was the Rabbi Kiva. We don't find this expression that it was Lashon of Rabbi Kiva to the Tame, and also we don't see even Rabbi Kiva saying Aral. This man is even the shit that Rabbi Kiva says in Gemara. The law of Ha'akatani, by the end of the day, a brisa says, that a person who is an RL and a Tamei person are punter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Why? Because that your person is a chiyuv to go. The Gemara understands an RL is punter from going because he is like a Tamei. So we compare them to be the same person. So the Gemara says that's not a raya that we're comparing it to be somebody who's tamei. It's because Azam Hashem Demais. There, it's because it's something which is disgusting. We mentioned someone who's an Arel, like an Arelim, that's like an insult to use by people. Have Bris Mila is like the kesher that we have in Azam Hashem. It's the signet who we are. It's like the sign of our bodies that we're Kadosh Tashem. So therefore, Hashem doesn't want him in the Beis Hamikdash. So now the Gemara says Azdel Tamayu Lachor that these Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda are going to be Lashitasam. Where do we see that? The sign of the Brisa says Akol Ksherim Lekadosh. Everybody's eligible to the Mechadas. Chutz Mecher Shat Vekatan, except for those are right cheresh to somebody who is deaf mute. We assume that legally he doesn't have any knowledge to convey what he's talking about. And also a sheita is somebody who doesn't have legal das. Mind isn't there. And a katan is somebody who's bullied in bar mitzvah. We do machshav a katan because he says it's mutter. However, he disqualifies a drigonus an Isha and an Androgynous. So Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, since we disqualify an Isha, it makes sense you're going to disqualify an Androgynous because it's a Safek Isha, Safek Ish. So the Gemara says, so my time of the Rabbanu, what's the reason the Rabbanu said that the Tanakama, that a woman is going to be allowed to do a Mechatas, and as opposed to a Katan who's not? The Chsiv Lachu L'Tame may offer a Shrifas Achatas. The Pasuk says, and they should take from the Tame person, the ashes of the burning, from the animal, they should put it on a Kelly. So the pasuk over there says explicitly that she's take it. So anybody they is referring to anybody who's disqualified for gathering is possible for making the Kiddush Meir Glein, making a Kaddish to make the Meir Glein Chatas. And those who are qualified for this are going to be qualified for both of them. So therefore, that's the drasha over here. And therefore, and regarding the regards to the gathering of the offer, it says vasaf ishtar specifically should be a man excluding a woman. So we say that we actually say that the chora ish should say that the sifri learns that ish is actually excluding a katan, and the word tower is therefore. It does exclude someone. Ish is coming to the rabbis, a man who's a fukei chatan, and tor is including a woman. That's what we learn. Even though it sounds like Ish could have excluded both, but excluding one of them, because he's only excluding a chatan. So that's what the Gemara points out from over here. So the Gemara explains, why does Rabbi Yehuda say, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, he's going to respond, Imkin, if that's the case, what you say, that the Torah is teaching us that one is qualified to perform one, are also qualified to perform the Kiddush of the Meraglayim, Nima Krav Elakav, the Pasuk, and he should take, using a similar pronoun, Ma'ev Elakhu, Lashon in plural, Tafilu Anach, Tepsulun Osam, K'sher Macha, that even those who are disqualified there from gathering it, here also, they're going to be, here also might be kosher. So therefore, it's not going to be, he agrees to the first half of the Joshua, but this part, who says it have to be the same din? So the Gemara says, Yachia Eshanami, so then, so a woman should also be kosher according to Yehuda, that's the case. The fact they're going, Vilakhu is including somebody else, it should be that a woman should be included. Vinasan, Vilonas, not. No, because that's specifically Vinasan in this Lashon Zachar. That implies that somebody should put as a Zachar, not a man, rather, but not a female, rather only a man, meaning even a Katha potentially could be included, but not a female. For Rabbanu, what are they going to say? This, Ikasa Vilakach, Vinasan, if it's a Vilakach, and then Vinasan, Hava Mina Shakil Chad Vyayachad. And I would say, this person takes that one, and the other one takes the other one. Kazakhmana Vilakhu, the Basak says Vilakhu. Vikazakhmana Vilakhu Vinasnu, it says Vilakhu Vinasnu, then Hava Mina the Shakli Trey Vavi Trey. However, Kazakhmana Vilakhu Vinasan, Vilakhu and Nasan only to put the Filo Shakli Trey Vyayachad. Only to take one ash and put it out in the water, that's going to be Kasher. So the Gemara says, Bahavit, another, you know, he's a Hatar al Tameh, we'll go a little bit long, it's a short talk here also, but I guess we'll go for that. But he's a Hatar al Tameh, but if he's a Hatar al Tameh, Torah Michal Shu Tameh. The Torah implies that he has at one point was Tameh in some respect. Limit al Tvil Yom Shikasha Rapara. We see specifically that Tvil Yom is going to be Kasha Rapara, and not only that was something that Tzedukis disagreed with, and then they're going to see that's something that they actually specifically would do. They would be makbet to the use of the version of Lafuki, the Tzedukim. Okay, Baez Hashem, we'll pick up with Ayan Gimel in tomorrow's stuff. I'm not sure I have a chance to record because it's Lag Boimer, Eretz Yisrael, and I have to see if I have a chance to get around to recording it, but if not, we'll pick up on Friday, Baruch Hashem. Maybe I'll see if I could try to get around to recording it.